Today's episode is brought to you by Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. Listen later in the show for a special message about how Cody saved my Christmas.
Radio Free Weir with Ron Babcock and sometimes James.
Hey, that is what he said it was. And thank you so much to all 11 of you, but specifically thank you so much to our patrons, people who subscribe to the show on patreon.com. We have decided we're going to make a more concerted effort to reward your subscriptions. It's only $5 a month, but we need to do more for our patrons. This is something that we've decided.
Very, very attractive people. I'll tell you that right now.
Are the Medici still around? Because I heard they were pretty good patrons.
No, I believe they're all dead. Dead. Oh. But we are the Michelangelo of podcasting, and that's why we need to recognize our patrons a little bit better. So starting next week, we are going to have four patrons exclusive content every single day. There's going to be new stuff on our Patreon page. We're working on getting you guys T-shirts. We've just decided, you know, we're letting you guys down. Well, I'm letting you guys down.
Mostly you. Mostly you.
It's true. And that is honestly 100% a fact. So we're going to make a concerted effort as a show to stop my shortcomings of not recognizing our patrons. If you want to become a patron, just go to weirdshow.com. You can find our Patreon link there. And it's $5 a month. And then you will get access to our 100% Patreon exclusive shows that we will be putting up starting next week. Every single day. So there you go.
Yay.
Coming up on the every show.
Every single weekday?
Every single weekday. Like every single day. Not every single day. He's expecting stuff on Saturday and Sunday. They got football to compete with. They're not listening to us.
Also, just so you don't shoulder the whole burden, being the youngest of four and having three older sisters, I'm more than comfortable accepting blame that is not mine.
I'm not going to let you do that. This is my sword to fall on, and how dare you derail my attempt at nobility?
I think it's James.
John, if you fall on that sword far enough, there'll be enough sword sticking out that I can fall on it too.
That's right, and I will just stand and point and laugh.
There still wouldn't be enough for Rod though.
Nope,
he's a big guy. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to do instant karma stories about people getting their comeuppance immediately. We're going to play a game. Rod has promised that he's going to host the game. The game is 5 and 10, where James and I will have 5 seconds to name. Ten seconds to name 5 things in one category. An old Weir Show favorite, and more. But starting off, I just want to talk about this. Just a personal thing for me. This week, I nearly overdosed on something that I don't know it's possible to overdose on.
Mm-hmm.
Fentanyl.
Is it drama?
Fentanyl. What?
You can overdose on that.
Oh, it's so easy.
That's easy.
It's too easy. Too easy.
It doesn't take a lot.
Is it Dramamine?
No, it wasn't Dramamine.
If you take a bunch of Dramamine, you hallucinate. But you got to take a lot.
It's stool softeners. Stool softeners.
Well, that's a new one to me. I'm going to have to add that to the list.
My stool was a bit hard, was a bit gummy, a bit chewy, too thick.
God damn it.
What happened was I took a nice deuce on Sunday, Monday and Tuesday.
I pooped today.
I pooped. I was very proud. And then on Monday and Tuesday, I did not.
In the big boy potty?
In the adult potty
in the big boy potty.
Big boy potty with my legs dangling. I mean, my legs are short, like abnormally short anyway, but they're not short enough to dangle
for a guy
off the potty.
That's basically 6 foot tall. Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. People always think I'm so short because my legs are just. They're adorable. My son, yesterday, we were watching TV and he looked at my legs and was like, "You got weird legs, Dad." I was like, Why? Why? Just because you're proportional.
Yeah, I haven't lived with that burden my whole life. Yeah, thanks, kid.
Thanks, jerk. Anyway, I had a nice deuce on Sunday, then Monday and Tuesday, nothing. And then Wednesday, I started realizing, I haven't pooped in a couple days.
Get a little backed up over
I wasn't
here.
Feeling backed up, but I realized I hadn't pooped. And that was a problem for me over the summer. So I went to the bathroom. I was like, I'll take some stool softeners. And what I remembered from the summer was you take three of them. Take three stool softeners, and the next day you have just diarrhea and... you're fine. Then after that, it clears out the system and you're fine. Yeah, it resets everything.
Content you're missing.
So, yeah, this is the free stuff, guys. So, just imagine how good the stuff you pay for is. And so I got the bottle out. I'm really worried that I'm not going to... Like, I know I'm the only one of the three of us that does this, but when something is physically wrong with my body, I just start freaking out and assume that it's going to be wrong forever.
Yep.
And so I was worried about that. I get the stool softeners out. I take three of them and then looked at the bottle. didn't take them. Didn't look at the bottle first. No.
Didn't read as you were swallowing.
Yeah. No. Which would have been more terrifying, I guess. But I swallowed them. And I was like, wait a minute. Did I take the right ones? So I look at the bottle and I did not. Somebody, I'm not saying who, but I'm pretty sure my wife, had switched the stool softeners that I had out this summer with extra strength stool softeners, which said only one every 24 hours. Do not take than two a day. And I'm pretty sure it said this, but I can't remember. Dear God, don't take three unless you're planning on passing that gum that you swallowed back in 1991.
If you want to look like a soft serve machine, yeah, by all means, take three.
So
you're reenacting the scene from Dumb and Dumber.
I genuinely thought, like, should I puke these back up? And I was like, come on, stop being a wuss. Stop being a wuss.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Then my next thought was, I really have to poop. And I did. And I did have to poop. But it wasn't because of the stool softeners. It was like a psychological thing. Like, I'd swallowed them, and now all of a sudden I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom.
Hadn't nearly been enough time for those things to take effect.
Not nearly, no. So I went to the bathroom, had a nice deuce, and then thought, well, maybe somehow that got it out of my system. So the next day, this is Thursday, I'm on air, and we do this thing called the $1,000 Minute, where people call in, try to answer trivia questions. If they got all 10 correct, they get $1,000.
Okay.
And the woman who did it, it works really well if they get most of them right but miss like one or two. Then my job's easy. All I have to do is come in and say, okay, well, you missed 7 and 8. Here's what the answers are. This woman got, it was a record, every single one of them wrong. Every single one. And the first question was literally, what is the first letter of the alphabet? Got it wrong.
How the hell you get that wrong?
Because
she's just not knowing. You go,
and she told us she thought all of the questions, she was like, well, I just thought it was a trick question. And then it was like, the second question was like, is Brazil in South America or North America? She got that one wrong. Cause she's like, I just thought it was a trick question. It's like, what's the trick there? It's just a question. Well, she got all of them wrong, which meant I had to sit there and explain all of the answers to her. And about
give all the correct answers.
Yeah, give all the correct answers. And about around 5, it hit me.
It was the one time the ice cream machine worked at McDonald's.
Yeah, the McFlurry of shit was pending. And you know, and you feel it hit you, and you're just like, uh-oh. Hopefully you're never on air talking to like 300 to 400,000 people and going, so answer number 5, but you try to power through it because you're a professional.
Yes, yes, but yet the elevator is headed for the basement.
It was like somebody reached into my colon and was trying to pull it inside out.
Oh, God.
It was like somebody, like you reach into a sock and you pull it. It was like that.
You use your mouth 20 and a pretty dollar whore.
And I was like,
it's 20-er than a pretty dollar whore.
20-er than a pretty dollar whore, yes.
Yes, that's what I said.
New t-shirt. So I miraculously finished the questions, excused myself, you know, patiently, and then ran to the bathroom. And just let it have it. Like, this bathroom, it was like it was in
shotgun
trouble.
Blast.
Yeah. Yes. Like, Dumb and Dumber, like, being lifted off of the toilet through the force of my own stool.
Oh, God.
And just, like. And at one point, there's a sports guy named Scott Zolak, who used to be the backup quarterback for the Patriots and has done nothing
else. I know that name. Yeah.
Yeah. He's done nothing else with his life, but he was the backup quarterback for the Patriots. And he's also the host of the midday show on the sports station. He comes into the bathroom while I'm just like,
did he start giving play by play?
He came in.
He had the Madden pen out. He's like, what you need to do here? Break left. Boom.
He came in. And this is a guy who literally begins every conversation.
Sean's got a tough one here. He's lining up.
He's like a typical sports talk guy who's on a successful sports talk. So he's really full of himself. Yes, unlike me at the time, who was emptying myself. And
not full at all.
He, yeah. Walks into the bathroom. Yells, hey, fucker. And I went, yeah. He went, when you're done, there's a fan out here you need to turn on. And I went, fine.
Could you turn that on for me, please?
And then he just walked out. I was a little disappointed because when I left, there was no fan. There's no fan there.
Lying bastard.
But Scott Zolak should be used to that, not having fans.
No,
anyway.
No. Hey, John, here's the thing. Here's the thing. He wasn't talking about a fan. He was talking about himself.
Oh, he was a fan of the.
He wanted you to turn. He wanted you to turn him on.
Well, Scotty. All right. So anyway, that's my personal story of the week.
Oh my God!
Missed the opportunity there, John.
Yeah, I should have.
There's a fan. Wow. Out there. You need to turn him on.
Well, if there's anyone still listening, I came home from work yesterday, and strangely had no voice. Like. Don't know why, but throughout the day,
I mean, you always sound a little bit hoarse, but
well, throughout the day, my voice just kind of went away. Mm-hmm. And so I got home from work last night and walked in the house and was like, hey, honey, she's like, what the hell's wrong with you? I was like, I don't know, my voice is going away, my throat kind of hurts. She's like, you've got corona.
Oh my God,
Rona.
I'm like, no, I didn't bring any beer home. No, so she's freaking out. And literally sends me to the bedroom and like won't talk to me, won't come in the room. I said, you realize my tongue was in your mouth yesterday, okay? If I have corona, I didn't find it today and now I'm sick.
Your what was in her mouth?
My tongue.
Tongue. Okay. Tongue. I heard something else, but that's fine. Okay.
Well, that too. But the point is.
Yeah.
The point is, I'm sitting in the bedroom last night by myself. Watching TV, and I'm like, hey, I'll watch The Mandalorian. Ended up falling asleep super early. I never finished watching the episode. But the point is, yeah, she's totally like, you're sick. You don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Tabitha, we live together.
Yeah. What are you going to just...
You realize how this works, right? Like, if I do have it, then it didn't happen this morning, you know, on my way to work. But yeah, she's freaking out, won't come in there. And I'm like, I can taste this shitty pizza, okay? I'm fine. There's nothing wrong. I'm just don't have a voice. That's all.
I'm genuinely looking, if I ever get it, I am kind of looking forward to eating healthy for the first time in my life.
Because you won't be able to taste it.
I might as well eat kale now. Well, let's get some vegetables on my plate.
Some kale?
Yeah. I'll just eat an onion or something. I don't know. Is that healthy? I don't fucking know.
My wife is literally yelling through me through a crack at the door. Do you have a fever? I'm like, go away. Just go away and leave me alone.
Apparently, my grandpa on my mom's side, who unfortunately passed before I ever had a chance to meet him, would eat onions like apples.
Really?
I used to know a kid that would do that. He walked up to me one day. I'm like, is that it? That's an onion. I can smell it. And he's like, yeah.
That's like something an alien in a movie would do. Like they're trying to blend in with the humans.
They
see like somebody eating an apple and they're like, oh, they eat these round things.
It kind of looked like Egger, but somebody in an Egger suit.
Someone in an Egger suit.
And he asked me for a sugar water. Being weird to me.
James, you got anything?
I sat down. What day was that? Was that Wednesday, I guess. And I just sat down and watched a couple of movies that happened to be on HBO. I watched Richard Jewell.
Oh, yeah. Was that good? That got a bad... Yeah. That was a Clint Eastwood movie that came out last year, yeah, and it got bad reviews.
Was that was that the one where he was the drug mule guy?
No. That was the mule. Richard Jewell. It was about the guy in Atlanta. Remember during the Olympics where there was like a terrorist bombing, or there was an attempted terrorist bombing? Richard Jewell is the guy that found it. Well, and then NBC News or somebody reported like he's the guy that did it, and he was kind of
the Atlanta Journal-Constitution was the one that originally ran with it,
and like everybody else said that it was true, and he was totally innocent.
He fit the profile.
He actually was like the hero. He saved lives, but he was also a little slow. So like when the cops interrogated him, it seemed like he was kind of guilty.
He was like a perpetual fuck up, like, and he'd always wanted to be in law enforcement. And he had a couple of shots, and he fucked them up because he was a bit too overzealous.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI ran a profile, and they're like, he kind of seems like the kind of guy who would plant a bomb to find a bomb.
Right. Those people exist. I had a friend who worked for a security guard company. They had a dude set a building on fire so he could put it out and be the hero, burn the place to the damn ground.
Jesus Christ.
Because he was an idiot.
It's like you do Munchausen's by proxy, but you end up killing your child.
Pretty much, yeah. The fire department showed up, and he was like, no, I chased the guy. It was me. I did it.
But John Hamm's in it as an FBI agent. Olivia Wilde is in it as a unscrupulous reporter for the Atlanta Constitution Journal, or Journal Constitution, whichever it is.
Didn't John Hamm play an FBI agent in The Town, too?
He did, and he played an FBI agent in Bad Times at the El Royale.
That's right.
He is the G-Man equivalent of what Michael Biehn is to Navy SEALs.
Well,
because Michael Biehn has played a Navy SEAL no less than 3 times.
Are we sure John Hamm's not an FBI agent?
He's too good looking.
Deep cover.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he fits profile.
He keeps. I mean, if he was an undercover FBI agent, why would he keep playing one in movies? Because it's the perfect cover.
Because it's the perfect cover.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
He's going to bring down that weird Hollywood.
How come that never happens? How come that never happens in undercover? Like when guys are undercover for something, they never like succeed to the top. Like, because like John Hamm just started. He was like infiltrating the Burroughs school in St. Louis. And they're like, what do you got? He's like, well, I can act a little bit, I guess. And then through that, he met like a bunch of contacts who were like, no, he's a really good looking guy. He can act. And then he gets sent to Hollywood, you know, but he's still undercover the whole time. You know, like that would be a great movie.
Suddenly there's a huge story where all these people in Hollywood are getting busted.
Yeah.
And it's all due to the efforts of our undercover agent, John Hamm.
Well, you can definitely trace the popularity of John Hamm and the Me Too movement. He got big.
Holy shit, those guys went down.
Kevin Spacey was sitting good and pretty until John Hamm came along.
I had that realization because I watched that on Wednesday. And I was like, okay. And then I watched Ford versus Ferrari, or most of it.
And I heard that's really good.
It's quite good.
Yeah.
Christian Bale and Matt Damon are both really, really good. And it wasn't as fellating to Ford as I thought it would be.
That's
just
good.
Because I assume they had to
get the rights.
Yeah.
Like they're like some of these guys at Ford were kind of fuck ups, and they didn't realize.
Very cool, because that's a very interesting story to me, and I've been wanting to watch it, but I hadn't. I keep hearing that it's a good movie. I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
What would be? And I'm skipping over the news compilation segment here because we're over.
Okay.
This is more interesting. What would be like? What's a movie that hasn't been made, like a real life story? I mean, that would make a great movie that hasn't been made yet. You know what I mean? We've talked enough about this kind of shit.
Well, I know we talk about there's a lot of different musician stories I'd like to see that have never been made, or at least not done well. Like,
you know,
I would like to see
just as an inspiration to the kids, Paul McCartney biopic or a Dave Grohl biopic, because
Dave Grohl one would be interesting. I was wanting to see a more in depth actual biography about the Ramones.
Yeah.
You know, like I would love to see that.
That would need to be more than a movie, though. That would need to be a miniseries. Like, yeah. Just a miniseries around the CBGBs, you know?
Now, that would be interesting.
That would
be cool.
The
movie did not do it justice.
It wasn't
terrible, but it was too, like, breezed over, you know?
Yeah.
And just, you got like, we're going to shove all this stuff in really fast.
Yeah, the Ramones. You got the Talking Heads. You got Blondie.
All kinds of bands.
All the big bands in the late 70s and 80s came out of CBGB, and they were great.
Why wasn't television a huge band and all this stuff?
I love television. Marquee Moon is like the longest song on earth, and
it's still good.
Anytime Spotify or Apple Music accident, like, I just have it on random and it comes up, I'm like, I'm listening to every single second of this. I will sit in my driveway until that song is done.
Yeah, all 18 minutes.
Yeah, it's so long. But yeah, I would love a good, who would make a good rock biopic that they just haven't done? Is Jimi Hendrix? I know they've tried, and his family won't let that happen.
Yeah, the problem with that is
fucking
his
idiots.
Damn family. Yeah, yeah, won't let it happen. And I've seen clips of Andre 3000 or whatever his name is as Jimmy, and
he's really good. Yep, he's really good.
I mean, he's dead on Jimmy. But
well, Jimmy's dead too, so that helps.
But yeah, those kind of things I've always been curious about. The whole story though of, and I know it's kind of goofy, but George Lucas making Star Wars, like the first one, where he goes through the whole thing of, man, I have this great story and fighting to get
it
made.
How has that not been made? Hollywood loves Star Wars. And loves nothing more than movies about movies being made.
And him going, okay.
And the struggles.
How am I going to do this and make it look good? And then, like, deciding, okay, I'm probably not going to get to make all these movies, so let's, you know, take this cool character I have later and turn it into, you know, Han Solo's partner.
Yeah.
Chewbacca, you know, because that was supposed to be what the Ewoks were. It was supposed to be a planet of Chewbaccas.
I would love if it's just a movie with him getting the inspiration for the characters and, like, I don't know, like, he sees Cinnabon somewhere and he's like, oh! He sees, like, a giant friendly dog that goes,
that would be the perfect hairstyle.
Yeah. He sees a small child with jaundice with a cane. He's like, what's that kid's name? And the parents are like, we didn't name him. Yoda.
God.
He's going to die. Like, he speaks backwards. It's fucking weird. We've given up.
Proper syntax I have not read.
But yeah, that would be a great either movie or miniseries. Just the Star Wars process. A Star Wars is Born. That's what you call it. And it would be great.
A Star Wars is Born.
I'm not even kidding about this. I want to see the scene where he goes, okay, I am willing to take a huge cut on the box office for this movie if you give me all the merchandising rights. How the hell did he know?
Yeah, that's always blowing my mind. Were they trying to fuck him on that and go, I'll tell you what we'll do. There'll probably be toys, right?
Yeah.
If there's merchandising, you'll get money on that. And he went, fine. Whatever.
Fine. Fine. I just want to get the movie made. Maybe that was it. But it's incredible. He made so much money from that.
Wasn't part of it, like, in order to get, I don't think Harrison Ford, I think he got some points on it, but I think Carrie Fisher was kind of a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he couldn't afford to pay them what they normally get paid, so they got points on the box office.
Yeah, right. So they made a ton of money.
And, like, they all got loaded off Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, everybody.
Right, right.
Yeah, it totally changed the way movies were made after that, because people stopped taking just an upfront check and going, okay, well, I'm just going to take points off the box office. And, like, it happens a lot where people, it's not just movies, but there have been bands who, you know, they're making their album and the record label will be like, okay, we can pay you $30,000 up front, or you get 1% of gross sales. And then they're like, okay, we'll take one. And then sometimes, you know, most of the time that ends up being something that screws the band over, but sometimes it ends up that album is Nevermind, or that, you know, it happens all the time.
I bet Pink Floyd wishes they'd have done that with Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah. I would seriously.
It's still selling? Jesus.
I'm not even kidding. You could make an anthology, like American Horror Story type of thing, with just a band. Every year, it's a different band making an album. I would love that. And I've said forever, it would be almost impossible to get the rights for it. But it seems like it's easier to get Beatles music rights lately because, I mean, yesterday was all Beatles music and that wasn't even that big budget of a movie. If you made a miniseries, not out of their lives and all that shit, I don't want to see that.
Right.
Just them bringing their lives into the studio and you made, I don't know, 5 seasons. So you got like, you could start with the Beatles, then do like Hard Day's Night. And then do Revolver, Sgt. Pepper's, and end with Abbey Road. That would be phenomenal. And I don't want to say, oh, John's with Yoko. No, that comes up in the process, right. But it's all stuff that's extraneous.
It's all like in the studio. Brought in.
Yeah, yeah. That Why are we doing cool. a podcast? Why aren't we in Hollywood pitching the shit?
Because people in Hollywood pitch things like BJ and the Bear.
Hey, that's a show I'd watch. Man and his monkey. Solving crimes. Come on.
My wife was watching. Okay, first she watched this god-awful show one time, and I was like, what are you watching? This is like a teenager soap opera. It's a piece of shit. And I swear to God, that person just called a character Jughead. She's like, yeah. And that's Archie, and that's Betty. And I'm like, the fuck are you watching? And it was called Riverdale, and it was a piece of shit.
You know what they're trying to do now because of Riverdale? They're trying to turn, like, everything that kids read between
She's
the ages.
She's watching the Hardy Boys yeah, right I now, know. Upstairs.
It's like any book you read between the ages of 10 and 10 and a half is now a dark, gritty TV show. Because
yes.
They got the Hardy Boys.
Like, please
there's
tell
a
me
Nancy
it's a-
Drew. There's,
is
there
there's, really?
Yes, there's Riverdale. I mean, at
Riverdale
least
Riverdale was a piece of shit.
Riverdale.
She's watching Hardy Boys. I said the only way this conversation ends with me going, that sounds interesting, is if you tell me it's a wacky comedy. She's like, nope. I said, then I'm out.
I'm out.
Done.
Yeah. Checked out. Yeah. Meanwhile, Scooby-Doo, which definitely lends itself to like a hardcore gritty mystery thing.
Now that would be badass.
Yeah.
To change Scooby Doo, like the mystery van is not this like flowered van. It's got like a face guard and mud tires on it and shit.
It's the 18 van.
Yeah, they get out with bats and stuff.
I mean,
like somebody's fucking up around the.
If only there was like a website.
We're kicking their ass.
A website you could go to see adult gritty versions of Scooby Doo characters doing things. Specifically, Velma.
In front of
a
your son.
A lot of Velma.
I made that mistake once when Roman was quite young.
You showed
and
him
he
porn?
Was watching. Yep. No, he was. I swear this is a true story. He's watching Scooby-Doo.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting on the couch and I had the laptop there and I was literally looking at pictures of hot rods. And a friend
so
of mine.
So you just had the camera open to yourself then, huh?
Yeah.
Sexy. Yeah.
A friend of mine was working on this Wink. Car, and, mm-hmm. and we were talking about different ideas of things he was going to do to this car. And I'm sitting there looking at just pictures of, you know, cool cars and stuff. And Roman says to me, which one's Daphne and which one's Velma? And for a minute, I went, damn it, I can't ever remember. Here. And I typed in Daphne and Velma, not thinking about it. And bam, all this stuff came up, and I immediately slammed the laptop shut. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Daphne's the pretty one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's sit over there because I want to look at these.
Daddy's gonna go into the bathroom with the laptop. I remember one time years ago, like because before you know smartphones, I went into the bathroom with the laptop and then came out of the bathroom with the laptop, and my wife looked at me and went like, "What? What?
What were you doing?
Were you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I just always wanted." Wanted to take a shit, you know, while on the internet, so I can finally do it because I have a laptop. And she went, okay. Like, the kind of okay where we're like, we both know that you're lying.
Yeah, sure.
We both know that there's a sock in the hamper right now that's been abused.
that if I don't wash first, is gotta be a little crunchy. We both know. So, you know, it's cute that you're lying to me. It's cute that you feel the need to lie to me.
Now I have a great idea for a horror movie.
Yeah.
So all these sock babies that come up. Attack people.
I just want to take a second here to tell you about my good buddy Cody Akins at AkinsPCRepair.com. I was in a bit of a bind this holiday season, like many parents are. Maybe many of you are like this. Henry, my 11-year-old, wanted nothing more than a PS5. And it's not that I didn't have the money to get him a PS5 so much as you can't get them. You can't buy them anywhere. You go online and they're sold out. You go to Walmart, go to Best Buy, go to Target. They're all sold out. They're laughing at you. And what happens is when they do go on sale, then a bunch of trolls go on there, buy like 500 at once, and then sell them all on eBay for $1,000 each. And people are willing to pay it. It's a scam, and it's horrible, and it's destroying our society, and it's ruining Christmas for a lot of families. So if you're like me and you're in a bind and you would like to get your son or daughter something really cool for Christmas, do what I did. My son didn't just want a PS5 for Christmas. He also wanted a new laptop. Actually, he needs a new laptop computer. And I thought, you know what? I'll kill two birds with one stone. I called Cody and I said, hey, could you put together a computer that's just as good as a PS5, but also something my son could do homework and stuff on? And he went, John, I can put together a computer that's better than a PS5, like way better than a PS5. Because if you're a parent, you might not know this. Your kids want a PS5, but it's not nearly as good as a computer that Cody can just put together for you. It's a little more expensive than a PS5. I'm not going to lie to you. A gaming computer is more expensive. But when you think of it the way I did, where I'm like, well, my kid needs a computer for school and he wants a computer to play games on, this solves the problem. It's 2-in-1. He's putting it together right now. He's sending me pictures of it. We're both really excited about it. He's going to ship it to me on Tuesday. I'm going to have it by Christmas. We're going to have an amazing Christmas. Cody Akins saved my Christmas. Is what he did. It's like a Hallmark movie, you know, one of those Christmas Hallmark movies. This Christmas, SSD doesn't stand for solid state drive. It stands for Santa saved drive, because again, he saved Christmas. I'm still working on the tagline. Point is, if you want to kill two birds with one stone and want to make a great Christmas for your loved ones, for your kid, for maybe yourself, maybe you know it's been a tough year, you deserve to splurge a little bit on a new laptop a new computer, a new gaming room, whatever you want. You deserve that. You've earned it. Then go to my buddy Cody Akins at Akins PC Repair. You won't have to wait like I do for it to come in, because he has to ship it to me all the way here to Boston. You can just call him, have him put it together, and go pick it up, and it'll be done in a few days. So that's AkinsPCRepair.com. Make my computer guy your computer guy. Save your Christmas. AkinsPCRepair.com. All right, it is time to play a game. The game today is 5 in 10, and Rod is going to be the host of it. So, Rod, I think this is actually something we should do every week, by the way, and we haven't talked about this, but maybe every week one of us makes up a game, and then the other two have to play it. And then, right. Yeah, they have to host it. So next week, James, it's your turn.
Do you have a timer?
I can
get one if not.
I got one. Okay. Give me a second. Don't move. Don't move.
Okay. Don't touch me.
Don't fucking even look at me. 10.
Okay, it's over.
Second. Okay. Keep going. Yeah, explain the game for people.
Okay, so what's going to happen is I'm going to give John and James a quick topic, and they're going to have to name 5 things from that in 10 seconds. And some of these are pretty simple. Some of them are a little more tricky.
Okay. And I remember we used to play this game on The Weird Show, and Rebecca was terrible at it.
Oh, God, so bad.
Which was so
fun.
But
we did it in 5 seconds.
No, we didn't. And It was always five and ten.
I always think it's 5 and 5.
5 and 5 would be way too hard.
It's way too hard.
Okay.
So it's 5 and 10.
5 and 10.
So we're going to start with James.
Okay.
James, 5 dog breeds in 10 seconds. Go.
Husky, Rhodesian Ridgeback,
whoa,
Boston Terrier, Labrador Retriever,
Is that only four?
You got four.
Okay.
I got Cocker Spaniel at the end.
Oh, did you? Kinda. All right, I'll give it to you.
I'll give it to you. All right. So that's one for James.
Oh, I'm being given it by both of you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Both of you are giving it
all
to
right.
me.
All right, calm down there, Lucky Pierre.
Okay.
Rob, what's mine?
Yours. Give me, John, give me five card games in 10 seconds.
Five card games? Magic the Gathering, War, Poker, Blackjack, 52 Pickup.
I'll accept it.
All right. Boom. That is... All right, so it's 1-1.
1-1. All right, let's see. Here, James, name me five brass instruments.
Tuba, French horn, trumpet, cor anglais.
Whoa.
Time.
Oh, sorry. So no,
I think a cor anglais is actually just the French name for a French horn.
Yeah, I don't really know what that is. Okay, so you didn't get that. Here's a tough one.
All right,
John.
Yes,
five Beatles songs with a girl's name and a title. Go.
Okay, Michelle, Sexy Sadie, Lovely Rita, fuck,
Dear Prudence,
fuckable. Fiona,
Franny. I would have accepted
Dear
Anna.
Dear Prudence.
Would have accepted Polythene Pam.
Polythene Pam. Was that
Martha,
was that a song title?
Dear.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Martha.
Yes, it was.
It's a dog, technically.
It's still a girl's name.
Martha, my dear.
Great song. All
That's
right,
a great song. Yeah, you're right.
James, give yes. me five John Goodman films. Go.
Oh, okay. So, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Barton Fink, Inside Llewyn Davis, Arachnophobia, Raising Arizona.
Oh, you got it just in. Boom.
Good one.
Most of those were Coen brothers.
Yes, they were.
This is the best. Okay. Films. Best work.
Jonathan.
Yep.
Give me five John Candy films.
John Candy films. Okay. Great Outdoors. Delirious? I'm stuck on it. I'm stuck. Dang, God damn it. Why did I hit the wrong button? Fuck.
Planes, trains.
Plane, trains, and automobiles, Uncle Buck. No, I got it. This happens sometimes with this game where you get stuck on it. You're like, wait, is that one or not?
Right.
He was in a movie called Delirious, right? Where he's like a soap opera writer.
Yeah. Was it called Delirious?
Was it called Delirious? I swear it was.
Yeah, he's the writer, but it's happening, and he like goes home and writes his... self out of dying on a horse.
John,
and shit.
Yep, yep, he was. And I was like, wait, wasn't that an Eddie Murphy album? Anyway, yes. All right, all right.
And a Prince song.
And a Prince song.
Delirious.
Let's get down. All right. So James is up 2-1, I think.
James is up. James, name me five streaming services.
Spotify, Pandora, Voodoo.
I mean, Netflix.
I would have
Hulu.
Accepted college. I would have accepted college in that.
College?
Well. That's the most expensive streaming service there is right now.
Oh, wow. You know what? It really does piss me off. you know, I live here in Boston, and it's like, Katie was asking me, like, what is Harvard known for? And I was like, Harvard is known for just being Harvard.
The most expensive streaming service
Harvard,
right now.
Harvard is just like, if you, doesn't matter what your degree is. Like, if you say I have a degree in film from the University of Louisiana, you're like, who fucking goes to school for you say it's from Harvard, you're like, oh, Harvard.
I'm sure it's
I have a degree in medicine from Harvard. I have a degree in finance from Harvard. Whatever it is, if you have
I
those
have
things from Harvard.
A master's in animal husbandry from Harvard.
From Harvard, yeah. But you're right, it pisses me off. Like,
well, goddamn, I think you're the perfect fit for our law firm.
They've really given up the game. With this shit, because they're charging the same amount for kids to go to class and not obviously get the same experience they're supposed to be getting, not get nearly as good of an educational experience, but paying the same as people did last year when this wasn't happening. because they realize that it doesn't really matter what your educational experience is. All that matters is at the end of it, you get a piece of paper saying you went to Harvard.
Have it.
Yeah.
Have it.
Have it.
Have it. Real quick, we'll go through a couple more of these. Who's up?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, mm-hmm. Name me five Major League Soccer teams.
Fuck you. No. No. Sporting KC. Okay, I don't fine. Know.
Okay, fine. Name me five brands of water.
Dasani, Aquafina, Nestle, Brita's, those water filters. Sure. And tap. Yeah.
The official bottled water is Final Tap.
It goes up to 11, this water.
This water goes to 11.
All right. It's James the third.
James, name me five. Here's an easy one for you. Name me five brands of guitar.
Okay. Rickenbacker, Gibson, Fender, Gretsch, Taylor.
All right, James, one.
Yep. Okay. Name Jonathan. Name yep. me five solo artists who left a band.
Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Ringo Starr, oh, George Harrison, Freddie Mercury, Elton. Well, John was always
Freddie Mercury didn't have a solo career.
Yeah,
it, not.
It
really.
Wasn't good. It was god awful. All right, that's all the time we have on this one. Let's switch over to James. Can you start up your Zoom and then send us a link?
Yeah, okay. I got you guys.
Back in a minute. Here we go. Let's get back to it. We're doing 5 and 10. I don't know what the score is because I stopped paying attention.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
I think 3-1, James.
I got a second one on solo musicians.
Yeah, cheated. Did but you get your? It.
How is it cheating by naming? You asked me for four solo musicians.
I know. I always forget that I have to put those little things in there, like not sequels.
No, it don't come easy. Unlike naming solo musicians. Name every Beatle. All right.
See, you have to put the the caveat.
No Beatles.
No Beatles. No repeat. It's like no say, no sequels.
Yeah.
Because I remember one time I asked you to name sci-fi films. You were like Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I'm like, damn it.
Star Wars or Star Trek, Star Trek 2.
Yeah.
No, I believe one
Star
was
Trek,
like
Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, Star Trek 4, Star Trek
5. It was five sequels and it was just Star Trek 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. All right. All right. Next one.
Okay. So
it's James's turn. James's turn.
James's turn. No, James just did branded guitars.
No, I did solo artists. That was the last thing I did.
Oh, yeah. Then you did the solo artists. That's right. That's right. Okay. So then let's see here. James, name me five films that are not sequels directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Ooh.
Okay. So you're looking at Godfather, Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
Jack. I mean, come on. He was old Jack. And horny and hanging out with children.
It's actually a really good, heartwarming film.
I don't believe you.
Screw you.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, what are some other movies directed by Apocalypse Now?
Francis.
I got
Ford,
that one.
The Godfather. So you got the original. Jack, which I'm keeping in because it was directed by him.
Hold on. I had it. I just looked this up the other day.
Did he do The Outsiders?
Yes. Outsiders
he did.
And Rumblefish.
Okay.
And Rumblefish. Yeah. I didn't know that. Stay golden, pointy boy.
Stay gold.
The Conversation. No, he was a producer on The Conversation. Let's see.
Hold on. Where is it? I had it right here. There it is. Focus Now, Godfather.
What's his most recent movie? Distant Vision, Megalopolis.
Dracula.
Oh, yeah, Dracula.
Dracula, The Rainmaker, Rumblefish, Cotton Club. God, I love that movie. Tucker.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
Dale versus Evil?
No, just Tucker. Peggy Sue Got Married, that piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that movie's not
Patton.
Good.
Patton.
Yeah. Oh, he did Patton?
Yeah. American Graffiti. See, everybody thinks
that's
American
George
Graffiti.
Lucas.
But it's actually, it's Lucas's film, but Coppola.
You said directed by Coppola, not produced.
Is he a producer on that? Yeah. I thought he was considered a director on that.
No, he's got to be, because
I thought the whole thing was, what's his face? Lucas couldn't direct yet or whatever. They wouldn't accept him as the director or something.
No, I don't
know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not seeing American Graffiti in his IMDb profile. Okay, all right, next one.
Okay, next one. Jonathan,
yes,
name me five types of flowers.
Daffodil, daisy, orchid, rose. Is that four?
Yes, yeah. You got four.
Wheat, rye, or, corn,
marijuana. So anyways, yeah.
All right, last one.
Last one. Let's see here. How about James? Name me five Taco Bell menu items.
Taco, Doritos Locos Taco, Nachos Bel Grande, Gordita, Chalupa.
Hey!
All right.
With time to spare.
Finally, we're going to end the show with some questions.
You get one more, Mr. Man.
That's fine. You won. Okay. I love that game, but you won handily. We're going to start farming these out to Facebook and Twitter, but also if you want to ask us a question, you will get predominance by asking us through a review of the podcast. So if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, just scroll down to the bottom of the app and you'll see where you can leave a review. 5 stars if you like the show. And unfortunately, it's weird, but 5 stars if you hate the show, too. It's the only
right,
way you
yeah,
can leave a review. It's 5 stars.
It's the only vote you can put.
So leave a question there, and then we'll answer it next week at this time. But right now, I'm just making these up off the top of my head. Okay. Have you ever accidentally caught someone naked? If so, what's your story?
Well, I was I had a roommate. My first apartment was me and my friend Sheldon, and we had a one-bedroom apartment, and in the bedroom, we each had a mattress on the floor, and there was about, I don't know, 18 inches between the two mattresses, because that's as big as the room was.
Yeah.
And
all 18 inches, too.
Anyways, I came home from work one day and walked in, and Sheldon is sitting on our one piece of furniture, this little couch, and, you know, eating. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, good, you know, and we're, you know, what's up? Nothing much. And I walk past and go, and as I open the bedroom door, he goes, oh, hey. And she goes, oh, my God. And she's standing there butt naked getting dressed. And I was like, oh, sorry. And close the door. And he goes, yeah, Amy's in there. Mm.
And so, you couldn't answer it. Because you were filing it away in the spank bag.
Oh, I was trying quickly photograph that and lock it away. yeah, that's it. That's my only time I've ever accidentally seen someone naked.
Mine is, I've told the story before, but it's the only one I can think of that really fits this, is I was on a pizza delivery in Belleville, Illinois. And it was one of these houses that, it's just a house, but they've broken it up into like five apartments that are just shitty little god awful apartments. And
but at one time it was a really nice house.
Yeah. And I go up to the door, I knock on the door, and the door just kind of swings open as I'm like knocking on it. It's like it's getting
right.
You ever done that where you're knocking on a door, it starts getting away from you, like, so it's knocking, it gets away from me. The door opens and there's a 900-year-old woman standing naked in the middle of...
And that's why I don't eat raisins to this day. Not at all. No.
Not raisins and only pink cotton candy. standing in the middle of the living room, and I see her, and I go, oh, my God, and I turn away. As I turn away from her, she starts cackling, and I could feel the cackling getting closer to me.
Oh, God. As the witch approaches.
Yes. I'm just a pizza guy. Please leave me alone. And then out of nowhere, this guy comes and throws a blanket over her head, picks her up and carries her, because she probably only weighed like 8 pounds, carried her somewhere else in the house, comes back to me, goes, how much was it? I go, it was $26.72. And he throws $30 at me, grabs the pizza, slams the door in my face, and I'm just standing there with the money. I was very proud of myself because I got in my car. I drove 2 stop signs away, and then I pulled the car over and started screaming into my hands for a solid 5 minutes. I don't know what was going on. I don't know what.
I thought you were going to say, I was very proud of myself because I drove all the way back to the Pizza Hut and masturbated with one hand while I drove.
Oh, God. No. That's the image you have in your head when you, let's just say, like, maybe, you know, you want things to last a little bit longer in the bedroom. Which is ironic. And women listening to this, I just want you to know, anytime your man lasts the perfect amount of time, it's a, like, yeah, a romantic thing. Like, oh my God, we both at the same time. That's because he's thinking of something horrifying. Some just so like, well, you're thinking this is like the most romantic. Yeah. He's taking his time. He's being so slow and methodical. Yeah. It's because in his head, he's like grandma naked in the bathtub. Oh,
dead
God.
Cats.
Aunt,
anything.
Aunt Susan shaving. Legs akimbo. Yeah.
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 Aunt Susan always had trouble shaving around that big Adam's apple of hers.
Not to mention the mole on her crotch. James?
I honestly don't think I have one. Right. I don't. I will say my first day working at the jail, though, one of the officers that was training me, like, I know him well to this day. His given name is Herbert, but he goes by Chris. Big, just mountain of a man with the most hilariously high-pitched voice. awesome guy. But he made it a point to fuck with me and the other guy that was training with him that day. Like, he kind of amped up the inmates because we started our first day, like, in the hole, the disciplinary unit. And he's like, I mean, we got new guys. Fuck with them. I want to see what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to see how they handle it.
Right.
Which is not ideal. It's not something I would do, but
probably not uncommon either.
Yeah.
Right. But they're like, okay, you're gonna be training with Officer Anderson here. And he's got no nameplate because you're supposed to have your little nameplate with your last name, and he's got no badge. And I'm like, okay, I guess when you're that fucking big, they don't have
yeah,
that.
There's no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. See that thing moving in the distance? That's him.
He'll get you.
He's like 6'3", 6'4", and just massive and like just overweight, but like awesome guy. But he kind of talks like this. He got a real high voice. Love the guy to death. But I was like, okay, yeah. So there were like 2 fights that day. And at the time, if you were working the 5th floor, it was a little different. They were like open housing units where like an officer just kind of ran the whole show. On the 5th floor, there was like a control center and they were kind of segmented units. And so if you were working on the 5th floor, whoever the control center officer was stayed, and then the other officers would respond if there was a fight or something, they needed them. So there were like 2 fights. And after the 2nd fight, he goes, oh shit. Oh, I ain't got my badge. And I was new. I didn't want to be like, dude, you never had your badge the whole day.
Yeah.
So we have to shake down both the units because the
you
badge
need to find
has
the badge.
This right. It's got this big fucking metal pin on it. Like you could kill somebody
with
that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
should those things be so velcroed on? Down. I mean, what the hell?
Nope, you need a metal badge, goddammit, with a scary spike on it.
Yeah, okay. With a knife on the back.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, so he's like, okay, and so we end up having to shake down both these housing units, and we're talking like full strip searches.
Oh, God.
Searching all the cells. Oh. I saw more dicks than the ladies on the stroll where John
Lord
used to work
I
on
have.
The railroad
hey,
all the
hey,
live long
hey.
Day.
Yeah, well, that's a story for another time. Things I saw on the stroll in Madison, Illinois. All right, next question. This is from Reddit.
Oh, wait. I got a note. He, like, knew damn good well he didn't have his badge on,
Yeah,
right?
He
like,
was just...
He just
no,
wanted
no.
you guys strip searching places.
I don't think so, because I...
Oh,
I,
so that what? So
later
what was the
on
prank,
it came
then?
Up, I was like, he legitimately thought he had it and lost it.
Okay.
Oh.
Dealing with a fight.
Oh, I thought he was going to pull it out of his pocket and go, oh, damn. Oh. It was all along.
Or just like
you didn't have to see all that sausage?
Like, way later on, I was like, like, you didn't have your badge the whole time. He's like, oh, yeah, man. No, I found that in my locker like 3 weeks later.
You know what's funny is, speaking of big guys with voices like that. So last week, my producer Jim was out. So we had this really great kid, Ryan, fill in for him. And Ryan's like 6'3". He kind of reminds me of Rod. Like, only
he talks like this. He has a really high-pitched voice.
I've met many here. A big, heavy guy that has talks a high-pitched voice. Because
they don't need, I don't think they need to develop a scary, intimidating voice. And so, like, I came home and Katie was like, who is that girl that was on the show? And I was like, Ayla? She's like, no, you said her name was Ryan. And I was like, no, that was a guy.
Because that could totally be a girl's name, especially
and,
nowadays.
Yeah, I guess so. And she was like, And that's happened before, too. And I hope he's listening, because he'll appreciate this. Michael Mackey. The first time Michael Mackey was filling in for Dana on Dana and Parks, I was like, who's this woman on the show?
Who's this chick on the show?
I genuinely thought it was a woman. And no, it's just, that's the way Michael.
Especially, if you get Dana and Mackey together talking about like some wine and cheese party or something.
Yeah.
Would totally think
I was like, who
girls.
Is this? Yeah. That's why you couldn't have Dana and Michael Mackey on the same show together. Just turn into the Johnson County Book Club. All right. This is from Reddit. I'm going to read some of the answers to this because I and Rod won't have any, but James actually might. Ex-prisoners of Reddit, what was the worst thing that you saw inside of prison walls? Here's the first answer. I spent 8 years in prison in the state of Georgia. There was a guy who made a hustle of hiding illegal cell phones for the Mexican gangs. When a shakedown search occurred, this man was responsible for the loss of many of those cell phones. He was confronted on the yard and tried to escape by climbing the fence. He got stuck in the razor wire, shredding his forearms while 7 or 8 Mexican gang members were stabbing him in the back of his legs and his ass.
That sounds lovely.
Second top answer, done 11 years myself. One of the worst things I've seen is two members of a gang called Goodfellas, a.k.a. 40 Deep. I don't know. Jumped on a blood on the way back from pill call. James,
I'm gonna go get your meds.
Pass.
Med call.
Yeah, medication
okay.
Pass. Yeah.
One used a large knife. The other had a fan motor in a net bag, and they used that as a flail. Also seen and heard multiple people being sexually assaulted. A friend of mine admitted to me after a year or so that he had been actively sexually assaulted every night by his roommate. For about a 5-month period, there's more just what I could think of at the moment. So, James, you work at the St. Louis County Jail.
City
jail. I always get that confused because it's St. Louis City and county, whatever. You work at the city jail.
So the city is its own county.
Right. You don't have anything that bad, right?
There have been stabbings. There have been people that have had to go out to the hospital. I asked an openly gay inmate one time how frequent sexual encounters were. And he goes, oh, it happens more often than you think. He's like, it's not usually rape. It's usually consensual.
Yeah.
It's usually between cellmates. It's usually on third shift. He's like, but it happens more than you think.
Third shift being after midnight?
Yeah.
Is that when they let it all hang out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they shake the tambourine.
That's what that song's all about. You
can shake my tambourine.
Jail.
It's all about jail sex.
Here's the thing that I've learned from friends and family
TV
members
show?
Who did time. Anyways.
What a weird way to bring up that you like the TV show Friends. Here's the thing I watch from Joey and Chandler.
If you're going to jail.
Put a razor in your asshole.
Jail, there's like a level thing. Like a city jail is that's nothing, man.
Yeah,
that's nothing. And then there's like going to jail at the police station, which is literally
just a holding cell. Yeah,
holding cell. Yeah. And then there's city jail, and then there's county jail, and then there's fucking prison.
Mm-hmm.
And going to jail at the holding cell is that's me. That's as far as I've ever been.
Yeah.
Never made it past the police station. Then there's city jail, which sucks, but you know, it's like staying at a shitty hotel and being told what to do a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's county jail, which nobody wants to go to. And then there's fucking prison. And when you go to fucking prison, it's terrifying. And if you're lucky, you get moved to what they call a trustee camp, which is people who are never, ever, ever getting out, or people who are going to be getting out within a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And so trustee camps are really cool, and everybody's nice and relaxed. And the people that ain't ever, ever getting out know they ain't ever, ever getting out, and they're fine with that. And the people who are about to get out aren't going to do anything stupid because they're about to get out. So
see, it would kind of be like and James, you can speak to the psychology of this, I think, right? But I would think that if you are in for life, it can go one or two ways. Either you go, I got nothing to lose. There's nothing more they can do to
right.
me.
Exactly.
I can do whatever the hell I want. And what? I'm going to be in solitary? Big deal.
Yeah.
Or right. go the other way, like, okay, you know what? I've done all the bad I'm going to do in my life. Maybe it's time to calm down a little bit.
Right. I did that when I was young.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was stupid. James, I know better say, now, like, but most, I'm institutionalized most and people, I just want to stay here.
Most people in for murder are like deeply regretful of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More often than not, statistically, they will call the police themselves.
Yeah. Right. Because they feel
like,
bad.
If it's not
if,
like
if things got carried not, away.
If it's not like in the commission of a crime, if it's not, if you're not a fucking gangbanger, if it's just like it was a heat of the moment thing, there was right. a gun or a knife nearby and you're just like, fuck it. And I read a book. I wish I could remember the name, but when I was going to school and it talked about, it was like a criminological philosophy, psychology book. Almost. It was like, because in that moment, like the equilibrium of fairness has been shifted so far in one direction in your mind
mm-hmm.
that the right. only way to bring it back is to just do whatever you can to this person.
Right.
And a lot of times they end up dying. And then you have an almost immediate like, ah, fuck.
Oh, yeah. I went too far.
That was too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so the recidivism rate for most people is incredibly low for murder, but you know, it is what it is. Now I can only speak for my own experience and my limited knowledge of Missouri DOC and Federal Bureau of Prisons, but mm-hmm. like the holding cell, city jail, county jail in the city of St. Louis is all one thing. Mm-hmm. Like you might get held at a substation temporarily at one of the police substations, but then you're coming to the justice center and then you're getting booked in you go to court. And then you go upstairs and then you await trial if you can't post bond. And then if you go to trial and you lose, then you go to DOC or BOP if you have a federal charge.
That sucks because like it seems like one thing you could look forward to if you're a prisoner. Like, well, a change of scenery.
Yep. No, yeah. You are.
Yeah, not even that. All right.
No, that's it.
Final question.
I do know. Real quick.
All right. Sorry.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I was just having a conversation. We were listening to music with this dude, and we were talking about music and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay is one of the greatest songs ever written. You know, we're listening to all this Motown and stuff, and we listened to a Marvin Gaye song, and he's like, man, it's a shame how Marvin Gaye died. And I was like, Marvin Gaye died.
It's really
oh
sad.
My fucking God.
Yeah. How is there not a movie about
Holy
that?
Holy shit. Exactly.
His dad how murdered him in his kitchen. Movie? Yeah.
I read this whole thing about it and how Marvin grew up and him and his father hated each other and they fought and his dad beat the piss out of him all the time. And then Marvin fucking Gaye and he's on tour and Sexual Healing's the greatest song in the world at the time. And he's doing all this massive cocaine and freaking out that people are trying to have him assassinated and stuff because, mm-hmm. you know, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
And then he's at home and he gets an argument with his dad and he like loses his shit and smacks his dad around and goes down to the kitchen. His dad goes in the room, gets a gun that Marvin bought him.
Yeah.
Don't ever buy anyone a gun. Okay. You know how many fucking stories I've read about people who got shot with the gun they bought the person.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. And then shoots him dead and then tells the cops, I shot him dead and did no time.
Yeah. No time. Because he was crazy. Yeah. No, I mean that how is that not a movie other than it's so sad? Oh, I'd also love to see a movie about Sam Cooke, who also died under kind of crazy tragic circumstances.
But, did he?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was
shot at a motel and
he was shot by he was basically banging some dude's
wife and yeah. her girlfriend. I can't remember James. Is that? But yeah, he it was. And
he was banging, I think, a white chick at a motel, and she tried to steal his wallet.
Yeah.
Or she did steal his wallet, and like he came out. I want to say it was maybe it wasn't a white chick, but anyway, he was banging a chick, and he went to like take a shower or something, and he came out, and she took his wallet, and so he's like walking around looking, and he looks a little crazy, and I think it was the owner of the motel that shot him.
Oh, was I always thought it was her boyfriend or something.
That's
oh, okay.
a time and race thing. Too.
Yeah, right. Yes, definitely.
Unfortunately, because yeah. Yeah. It did, you know what? No, you're wrong. And bam. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Right. I mean, but look at Walking Sam Cooke. You look at off. And listen to Sam Cooke, and you tell me he's not going to be banging everybody in sight. I mean,
oh.
I mean, come on. All right. Final.
That voice is a straight panty dropper.
Just not even a sploosh, a thud is what that is.
Okay. Sorry.
Final question.
They get so moist they fall God. Of their own accord.
What conspiracy theory do you actually believe in? Here is I have two that you can convince me of. One is that all of these Alex Jones types, all of these nut job conspiracy dudes who are making a ton of money off of conspiracy theories, know full well that they're full of shit and are just doing it because they make a lot of money off of it. I mean, it's
yeah,
easy.
I don't believe any of them believe that.
I think that they maybe kind of believe that the things that they're saying could be true. But I've worked in radio around enough assholes to know that some guys, 90% of the stuff that they say on air, they know isn't true. They're just trying. They're just trying to get people engaged. And that's the problem with radio is judging it based on engagement rate. Like, oh, people, the phone line's lighting up. The text line is lighting. Yeah, that's great. It doesn't equal ratings. It doesn't mean advertisers like you. It means you've pissed a lot of people off. The second one is this, though, and I firmly believe this, that Tom Cruise and John Travolta won out of Scientology, but they definitely told those guys something at the beginning of when there's like that entrance exam thing and they like break you down and you reveal all your dark secrets to them. There's something that Tom Cruise is gay or I don't even think it's that. It's got to be something more than that, because if it was just he's gay,
John Travolta is gay. I think John Travolta is gay. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Tom Cruise and John Travolta have both people have said about them. Like they're gay and they're openly gay almost. I don't know. I don't know if it's just gay though, because it seems like big deal. It's 2020. Nobody cares.
I think at this point, I don't think it's ever been a huge deal when people are literally, this sounds awful, but when people are that famous, the general public forgives them for shit like that, you know, like that they would normally not.
Right. You're already famous. You're not known as the gay guy. Yeah, you're just known as the guy that came out as gay.
I don't think that would matter, but I can see where, especially for John Travolta, having, you know, an older generation actor, you know what I mean? Having seen firsthand people get shunned and things, I could see where it would freak him out. I think Tom Cruise, it would be the thing that cracks me about Tom Cruise is that nobody knows he's 4 foot tall.
Yeah, maybe that's what they'll reveal to people, that he wears lifts. Anyway, you guys believe any conspiracy theories?
I don't. I have gotten so... I can't think of anyone I joke about lead-based paint, but, you know, I honestly don't. I am so, like, cynical and just literally more often than not, everything comes back to money. And anytime people are like, well, it's a big conspiracy, I believe and know for a fact that the illegalization of marijuana was a conspiracy, mm-hmm. and it was done by like three people basically, and is amazingly obvious and stupid to me. But
is it a conspiracy when they literally are on record saying, they're like, Nixon is on record as saying, well, we can't lock him up for protesting, but we can lock him up for smoking weed.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I mean, those aren't really conspiracies though. Those things happened, you know? So yeah, usually when you look into something and you're like, there's some kind of crazy, You know, all these people are doing this so they can. No, they're doing it so they can make money.
Yeah.
There's not a conspiracy.
DuPont have something to do?
Yeah.
Yes, DuPont and this guy that owned all these paper, all these woodlands for paper and this newspaper, they were all related. There was three of them. And they're like, well, if you print stories saying this and he does this. It was ridiculous. And it's all documented, you know, but so that's not really a conspiracy. That really happened. Yeah. You know?
Like a conspiracy is something that like that you don't even most people wouldn't suspect is happening or is
it's like or like the moon landing wasn't real. And that kind of shit.
That shit pisses me off. I remember that dumbass motherfucker Laszlo on The Buzz. I remember listening to him one day going, I think the moon landing was a conspiracy. And it's not true. And I seriously wanted to. I was driving to work, and it took everything in me not to march down the hallway to that shit bucket of a station and say, "If it was fake, why did the Soviets say it was real?" Prison rapist looking douchebag.
There's so many things about that. The biggest one for me is, dude. Okay, for example, some fucking dipshit. Cocksucker fuck all of a senator or congressman or whatever the fuck he is from Dickwater, Kansas can't dip his balls in a fucking lake in fucking you know, wherever
being a scandal.
And we don't know about it before he even fucking gets back.
Yeah.
Then you can't tell me that many people pulled off that much shit and someone didn't tell.
I mean, I think it's the opposite. I think that the aliens definitely exist. The government definitely knows about it. And they're not saying anything because Obama was interviewed because he's got a book out and like every late night talk show he's on. And I can't remember if it was Colbert or somebody asked him. So
I think it was Colbert.
So aliens, are they real? What's going on with that? And he was like, I cannot tell whether or not aliens are real. Like he totally didn't even like, no. He was just like, I don't know, maybe.
No, and that's
I'm not at liberty to discuss that with
that was yeah something like that some
it's
I think if Obama just doesn't want to answer a question he just goes and people go what was
look,
I even
Stephen,
asking I forgot I
look
forgot.
Stephen here's I, the thing
yeah
you know in all seriousness the thing with that I've always thought is okay let's say yes we know for a fact that you know, shit has come here that we don't know and turned cows wrong side out and whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say to the general public, you know what? I'm tired of lying to you. Yeah. It's a thing. They exist. They're out there. They can come here. We can't do shit about it. And sometimes they turn cows wrong side out and put their thumbs up hillbillies' butts. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, but that exists.
It's real. I don't know what to tell you other than
you know how
carry
much
some lube in your
panic
pockets.
And shit would people would lose their fucking minds. You know how many dumbass people in this world would just go ape shit because of that?
You know what's funny?
What would be the point of telling everybody that?
It's hard enough in the reality that we live in to get people to convince people of most things actually happening. You know, like it's hard enough to get people to believe that things that are happening. And yet you're right. If they came out and said, by the way, aliens exist and they totally are raping us and our cows.
Totally.
And
there's nothing we could do about it.
Yeah. They live off of the tears of babies. People would be like, I knew it. You know, James, any conspiracy theories?
That's the one that if some dude who went from. You know, had been in the military forever, got out of the military and said, you know, I worked over there. I've seen that shit. It's real. People go, okay, Jimbo.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you another plate of fucking chicken fried steak and you just shut up. Right. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're 44 days away from finding out whether or not the aliens do exist. I'm just going to throw that out there. James, do you have any conspiracy theories?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Because most of the stuff that, especially government conspiracy theories. There's too much.
It's so hard to cover it up.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the comforting thing. What's funny to me is people who believe in conspiracy theories believe in them because they believe in the comfort of them. The comfort of, okay, I'm going to believe in this because it means that somebody's in charge. 9/11 was a conspiracy. That means that things aren't happenstance. COVID is a conspiracy because they're in control of this. It's not real.
And there are things I wish there were a reason for. But I really do. But there's not.
It's much more comforting for me to believe that the government isn't
diabolical kind of, to isn't able to get
doesn't
away
have
with
that
it.
Much brain power.
Let me put it this way, because they are malevolent and they are diabolical, but they aren't able to get away with a lot of stuff because they're not good at covering things up. That is comforting
not that
to
smart.
Me. Like they're the 9/11 thing. I always used to say, you know what's a great conspiracy theory? That a bunch of guys in a cave in Afghanistan pulled this off. There's your crazy conspiracy theory. If you want to believe in something fascinating, that's much crazier to believe in than it was planned in Washington. And yet that's what really happened.
Well, and that's apparently a big part of the assassination conspiracy theories is people hate to believe that someone
as powerful,
so important can be killed by someone so insignificant.
Yeah.
So Mark David Chapman can just walk up and shoot John Lennon. No way.
Yeah.
Lee Harvey Oswald, who's a washout from the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Can kill
the president.
John Kennedy.
It's a 70% approval rating. You would assume some of those bullets would have been galloped away. John Lennon, by the way, tomorrow, the 8th, because we're releasing this on the 7th, is
I was going to say what?
The 40th anniversary of John Lennon's death.
That's right.
Yeah. It's a little weird for me and James too. I mean, we never lived in a world with at the same time as John Lennon.
I
can't imagine
remember,
how devastating that would have been though.
There's two things evidently people were watching at that time. There were three channels.
Yeah. Monday Night Football.
You were either watching Monday Night Football, or if you were at my house and you were with your mother and her sisters, you were watching a show called Emergency.
Mm.
And
it's ironic.
And not
Dynasty.
We were watching Emergency. Yeah. No. And they broke in and said, I don't even remember what they said. I honestly remember I was like 9. I remember everybody in the room just losing it, getting really upset, and me going, why exactly?
Yeah. It's crazy that time period that, it was such a violent, crazy, fucked up time. Keith Moon died. John Lennon was killed. Elvis died. These guys all died within 4 years of each other. We think now is crazy. And don't get me wrong, David, but all these guys that are dying are old.
I was
or at least
say
older.
The thing is, it's a generation. It's an age thing.
And
now,
none of them are getting shot on the street.
Good God.
It is. It's crazy. It's amazing that our parents are as normal as they are. Maybe that explains a lot.
Okay, we got to wrap up. We're under the 2-minute warning again.
All right. Well, that is the show. Thanks to all of our patrons and Patreon. If you want to become one yourself, then go to weirshow.com. You'll find our Patreon link right there, as well as links to all of our freebie shows. If you can't become a patron, that's fine. Just leave a review, 5-star review, and a question with the 5-star review, and then we will read it at the end of the next show.
Facebook pages too. I'm always posting memes and shit on there.
We're always
and
there.
The Weird Show Facebook group is great.
Yes,
I love that page.
It is fun, and as much as I hate Facebook, I do love that. So that's the show for today.
Thursday we'll have a fact show.
Yep. Let's Bite Setzler show is going to be up on Thursday. Facts about World War I and facts about Liechtenstein. So, that's fascinating. If that's not a good hook, I don't know what is. all right. Love you guys. Bye.
Take this, bitch.